Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Personality Speaking. My name is Karen Ward. I am a certified personality trainer and speaker, upcoming author, and radio show host. Personality Speaking is designed to help you reconcile your relationship one personality at a time. We will explore personality-related issues and topics with our various guests. Tonight is our monthly Ask Karen segment. And the topic for tonight is, can your personality hear me now? I don't know if you all remember some time ago with the Verizon slogan, can you hear me now? Well, with people every day having one device to their ear or their tablet or their iPod or their iPads in their hands, they're focused on whatever is coming up on the screen. So it could be your social media or your emails or your phone conversations. And so I really wanted to explore the topic of, can you hear me now? Are you able to have good relationships with people, or are your relationships challenged by your technology, your iPhones and your iPads and your Droids and your Samsungs? Is that impeding your opportunity to have good and healthy relationships with people? So I'm excited to talk about that tonight. Relationships are, as we all know, is difficult enough, you know, without having the Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, and everything else that we face. Let's talk about it tonight. I want you guys to call in, and I want you to tell me your experiences as how technology or how your social media is impacting your relationships, whether it's good impact or if it's a negative impact. I want to know about it. I want you to tell me, you know, what you're going through as it pertains to these things. Now, in order for you to do that, you can reach the show two different ways. You can, or several different ways. You can log on to our website, which is blogtalkradio.com/personalityspeaking. That's blog, B-L-O-G, talk, T-A-L-K, radio.com/personalityspeaking. We have a chat room. You can log into our chat room and ask your questions and post your comments there. I will be reading them throughout the hour if you post there. You can also call into the show at 929-477-1876. Press 1 to comment or ask your question. Again, that number is 929-477-1876. Press 1 to comment or ask your question. You can also post your comments on facebook.com/personalityspeaking or on my Twitter account, which is twitter.com/PLikePeterERSpeaking. I'm so excited to get into this topic, but before we do that, I always like to give a brief overview of the personalities for those who might be listening for the very first time and is not really clear about the personality styles or have never heard of them before. There are four personality styles. Two, extroverted, which means you get your energy from other people, you're very outgoing. And there's two introverted personality styles, which means you get your energy from within and you usually keep to yourself. Excuse me. So let's talk about all of them. The first two are your extroverted personality styles, your outgoing personality styles. The first one is the popular sanguine. And we call it the popular sanguine because they're very popular people. They're normally around a lot of people, have a lot of people talking to them, and they're talking to a lot of people. If they had a tagline, the tagline would be, let's do it the fun way. The sanguine desires to have fun as their primary objective. They tend to be spontaneous and talkative, loud and social. But they can also be forgetful and disorganized, egotistical, and easily angered. Some examples are Bill Clinton, Kelly Ripa, and Wendy Williams. Then the popular sanguine more than likely would be on social media a lot. They like socializing with people, like commenting and communicating, posting pictures, and things of that nature. The second outgoing personality style is the powerful choleric. The powerful choleric, if they had a tagline, it would be, let's do it my way. The college desires to have control as their primary objective. They tend to be strong leaders, a get-it-done kind of personality, and they exude confidence. But they can also be bossy and impatient, quick-tempered, and inflexible. Some examples are Dr. Phil, Donald Trump, and Judge Judy. Now, the powerful choleric would also be on social media, but for a different reason. The powerful choleric tends to be on social media to advance their entrepreneurial activities. So they're born leaders. They normally have businesses, or they're running organizations, or, you know, running their offices, or, you know, whatever they're doing, they tend to be on social media to further that cause. Then you have the perfect melancholy. These are your introverted personality styles. The perfect melancholy, if they had a tagline, would be, let's do it the right way. A melancholy desires to have order and also strive for primary objectives. They tend to be highly intelligent, organized, compassionate, and thoughtful. But they can be prone to depression, moody, they sometimes remember the negative, and a bit on the self-centered side. Some examples are Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, and Beethoven. Now, what's interesting about a melancholy, there are melancholies that are on social media. I know a number of them. But there are some melancholies that will not touch social media. They don't want to deal with that because melancholies tend to be highly suspicious of people and their motives. So sometimes they don't want to be on social media, and even if they are, they're on for a reason. They don't want to be on social media because they're afraid of what people might do with the information that they find. I actually have a friend who just does not want her pictures posted on Facebook or Twitter or anything. She doesn't want her children or grandchildren's pictures posted. So they're very cautious about social media. Then you have the peaceful phlegmatic. The peaceful phlegmatic is another introverted personality style, and it's the fourth and final personality style. The peaceful phlegmatic, if they had a tagline, would be, let's do it the easy way. The phlegmatic desires to have peace as their primary objective, tend to be loyal, easygoing, consistent, and sympathetic. But they can also be uninvolved, unenthusiastic, fearful, and selfish. Some examples are Keanu Reeves, Calvin Coolidge, and Princess Diana. Now, the peaceful phlegmatic is a watcher. They're people who will be online watching the things that you're posting. They may or may not post a lot, but they're looking at pictures. They may comment with, you know, do smiley faces or some emoticons, but they're not going to challenge or talk to people when they see a controversial subject. They tend to stay away from controversial things. So those are the four personality styles. If you want to know more about the personality styles, you can go on my website at www.beyond2llc.com. And on that page, you can go to my services and you can purchase a personality assessment. And with that assessment comes a 15-minute consultation where we'll go over your results. Now let's get into the topic of, can your personality hear me now? Now, I can tell you that I remember, you know, when the slogan, can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? It was really about cell phones, the usage dropping, or you having a difficult time getting service. But I use that because it also, to me, says we are in a society where people are so fixated on their phones or their technology, and they're so fixated with social media that they don't necessarily have the time to spend in human interaction and human communication. So that topic of can you hear me now inspired can your personality hear me now. I want to know, is social media affecting you and affecting your relationships? Is technology coming between you and your loved ones? What effect is social media and your technology having on your relationship? Is it hard to have a conversation with your family because their faces are buried in their cell phones? Have you seen commercials or even movies where, you know, families are at dinner and the kids are on their phones and they're texting? And quite frankly, it's not just children. I see adult men and women they're constantly on their phones or constantly texting or communicating on their social media. So let's talk about the cell phone and social media usage statistics. Sorry about that, you guys. I want to talk a little bit about that because there's a lot of information out here and some misconceptions about what people are saying about social media and about technology. Now, how does the social web look like? What does it look like for 2015? I found this article on the internet, and it says, the quick truth is that it can be summed up in one word, mobile. Smartphone penetration has soared as the devices have become more affordable and the wireless networks more universal and faster. You will not believe this. This really shocked me. Okay, first of all, there's 7.2 billion people on the planet. And of those, the following numbers make some interesting reading. There are just over 3 billion active internet users. Now, that's interesting. There's 3 billion active internet users. That's 45%. That's 45% of the world's internet users. So, you know, you have a lot of people who register for accounts, and they have accounts, but they may not be active all the time or, you know, for periods of time. But of those, 45% of those users, which is 3 billion, are active. You have 3 billion people on social media or on the internet. Nearly 2.1 billion people have social media accounts, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, things of that nature. 3.65 billion mobile users have access to the internet via smartphones and tablets. 3.65 billion mobile users. I wish I had a dollar for each of those. I'll be a 3.65 billion billionaire. Now, close to 1.7 billion people have active social media accounts. So I find it just amazing. Those are the people on their smartphones and mobile and internet. It's close to 1.7 billion people with active social media accounts. Think about how social media is affecting your relationship. Now, long-term couples tend to view and utilize technology quite differently compared to those who've been together for a shorter period of time. Couples who have been together for 10 years or less show different patterns of technology usage in the context of their relationship compared to those who have been together for a longer period of time. Couples who have been together for a decade or less also typically younger than those who have been together for longer are much more likely to have use dating services or other internet to meet their partner. That's interesting. To use technology to help with other logistics and communication in their relationship, and to report that the internet had an impact on their relationship. Adults who are long partnered use technology in their relationship, but are more likely to use some of it together by sharing email addresses and social media profiles as a couple. And I've seen on some of my social media accounts where I see couples in pictures together and they have their own couples accounts, like my friends Vince and Joy. They have a Vince and Joy Facebook account, you know, and they're also involved with couples on the internet as well. But those are just some of the few people that I've seen that have their joint accounts. So that's interesting. Now, let's talk about some of the other things that would be interesting to you in terms of the findings. On the internet, cell phones and social media have become key actors in the life of many American couples. The 66% of adults who are married or in committed relationships are on the internet and have cell phones and social media. Some couples use the technology in a little way, in small ways, and some use the internet in large ways. They negotiate over when to use it or when to abstain. A portion of them quarrel over its use. You know, people get mad about, you know, why you're on your phone all the time. Actually, when my husband and I are together, he really does not like me on my phone. And I keep it on all the time because I have a business, I have a ministry. You know, I'm always checking. I have a lot of activities going on. But he, when we're together, he does not like me to be on my phone. And he's never on his. So what else do they do? They also say, they quarrel over the fact that, you know, that the person is using it. And some of them have had very hurtful experiences caused by some of the usage of the technology. But at the same time, some couples find that the digital tools facilitate communication and support. Now, that was surprising to me. And I guess I understand that because a world where we're so fast-paced and with so much is going on in the world, I can kind of see how it makes a difference if you can keep up with your spouse and, you know, if you need something done and they need something from you, that we can reach each other really quickly to get those things done and make things happen. So I can see that, and I can see how that could support the relationship. A majority of those in couples maintain their own separate email and social media accounts, though a smaller number report sharing accounts and calendars. Now, I have my own social media account. My husband has his. I think he's probably on it twice a year. Well, I'm on mine every day for the most part, unless something's going on. But I find it interesting that there, you know, a lot of people who share accounts and calendars. And it says fully 2/3 of couples share passwords. Hey, I keep mine open all the time. My husband has full access to go on my account and check things out. So I'm interested to know how many of you, and I'd like you to call and talk to me about it, but how many of you share internet accounts in knowing? How many of you share passwords? I'm interested in knowing if you have any difficulty with your social media usage or your spouse's social media usage. So if you are calling in, you can call in on 929-477-1876. Press 1 to comment or ask your question. Again, you can ask your questions on my Facebook page, which is www.facebook.com/personalityspeaking. And I will be checking out that Facebook page throughout this conversation. You can also post your comments in my chat room, which is on blogtalkradio.com/personalityspeaking. So I really want to hear, I need you to call in and tell me what you're thinking. Also, I also posted, it's so funny, I posted a picture on my Facebook page that my friend Nicole Thomas posted on her page. And the picture was really interesting. And if you haven't had a chance to look at it, it's on blogtalkradio.com/personalityspeaking. And what it does, it shows three pictures. It shows at the top of the page is a husband and wife in the bed together. And in the center of the bed is this ginormous cell phone. And she's looking at the cell phone and he's looking away. But it's right in the bed between them. And then on the bottom left of the picture is a couch. And it's a mother and a daughter on the couch. And in the center of the couch is a ginormous cell phone where they can't even see each other through the cell phone. And the mother's looking at the cell phone. The daughter's kind of, you know, sitting by herself. And then on the bottom right-hand side, it's a father and son. And the father is looking at his cell phone, which is standing in the middle of the table in between him and his son. He can't see his son. His son can't see him. And his son is by himself. So it really made me think, you know, is social media really impacting our relationship? Do we have the kind of intimacy that we want to have? You know, is social media and your cell phone usage, is that in how you communicate or your ability to communicate? I have several friends who, you know, we've had discussions about this topic before. And so the topic is really kind of, for some people, it's a touchy conversation. For some people, they find it difficult to have their cell phones on and be in the company of their spouse or significant other. Their children sometimes find that their kids are on the phone too much. They're not spending the time with them. It's hard for them to get your attention. So, you know, this is just a very interesting topic. I have a lot of information to share. I have a lot of statistics that I want you to hear, but I really want you to call in and I want you to comment on this topic. And I had some people who already started commenting, so I'm going to read some of those from my page. All right, let's try it. Let me read something here. I had a message posted. The day I posted this, it was already getting a lot of people. They wanted to listen in on this topic, and that it was an interesting one. And one was from my a longtime supporter and friend, Tia Titus. Tia said, ooh-wee. It did affect my marriage just about 6 months ago. Now, things have changed because we communicated this subject to its core. We have an understanding. My husband is melancholy, so this social media is not a big deal to him. But I'm a sanguine, and social media is not a big thing to me, but I'm extroverted, and he's introverted. So she's outgoing. So, you know, people for us outgoing personality styles, we like communicating. We like seeing what's going on in other people's lives. We like to see that people are having fun. You know, we like to keep in touch. So I can see why Tia is, you know, into it. She may not spend all her days and nights on it, but I can see why she'd be into it. But melancholies tend not to be so into it. You know, they will if they need to be, or if it's, you know, enlightening, they're getting some information, valuable information from it. But they're not just going to, you know, spend time on social media all day unless it's media needs. I know a lot of melancholies who are book writers or write poetry or create music, and they're very creative people. So sometimes they're on social media to further that cause. But a lot of, you know, they don't trust social media. Anyway, so she says, so getting transparent about the subject, I had to take a look at myself and understand what he was trying to convey to me. I didn't see it then, but now I see. Praise God for the Holy Spirit. So if she is listening in, I really like to hear to call in and give me a little bit more feedback on that, because I think that this social media thing can really either hurt or really help your relationship, depending on how you use it. It's too much social media, too much. It's too little social media, too little. I mean, what is a lot of social media? What is a lot of being on the phone? Is it somebody who's on their computer all day, on their phone all day, texting? I was over at my brother's house just the other day, and he was posting pictures and commenting, and he was on his phone most of the time, and then he was trying to show me everything that he had already tagged me in. So I'm really interested in your thoughts and, you know, what you think about this particular topic. Meanwhile, I'm going to give you some more tips or some more things that I found as I was researching this topic. So let me do that. All right. Overall impact on technology on long-term relationships. 10% of internet users who are married or partnered say that the internet has had a major impact on their relationship. 17% say that it has had a minor impact on their relationship. Fully 72% of married or committed online adults said that the internet has had no real impact at all on their partnership. Now, I find it interesting. So you have you know, a large percentage who said it has no impact whatsoever. But to me, there's 10%, and you're talking about billions of people. So you have 10% of these people who said that there's an impact. I say that's still big. I still think that's major. It's something to think about, something to talk about. Now, let's talk about the 74% of adult users who report that the internet had an impact on their marriage or partnership say the impact was positive. That was really surprising to me. I was very surprised to see that. I would have thought it was just the opposite because I've heard certain comments about relationships being impacted. Some of you may have heard that, you know, marriages have broken up over the internet, over internet affairs. You may have heard that marriages were, you know, trust was broken because people were, you know, commenting or trying to say, you know, things to their spouse or their significant other, women or men who are interested in them may have said some things. So I've heard a lot of negative. So I was really surprised to hear that so many people found it to be positive. 74% of adult internet users report that the internet has had a positive impact on their marriage. That was interesting. Still, 20% said that the impact was mostly negative, and 4% said it was both good and bad. Well, that's interesting. So I guess that means that they've had some good experiences and some bad experiences. Again, 20% is a large number. It's a large number for you to, you know, be spending that much time on social media and having a negative experience.
I'm actually getting some feedback that my show is going in and out. So if that's still happening, and Tia just sent me a message, if you're still hearing that, Tia, please, you know, ping me again, let me know. I'm hoping that this we're having some difficult weather in the area, and that could be having some impact on my listening audience. So I'm hoping that that's not a problem. So, okay, so Tia says she's on her computer, so maybe that's an issue that she's having. If you are having difficulty, please let me know that you're still having difficulty hearing me. It could be due to the weather that you're having some difficulty hearing me. So I want you to have a good, positive experience in listening in on the show. All right, so let me go to some other statistics. Let's see here. Some people say technology is a source of support and communication. 25% of married or partnered adults who text have texted their partner when they're both home together. Now, that's weird to me. But it's so funny because my son and my daughter-in-law was here earlier today, and I said that statistic to them. And my daughter-in-law said, oh, yeah, we do that all the time. We'll text each other in the house. I think that's so weird. If you're in the house together, why are you texting each other? I mean, maybe it's sweet, you know, texting that you text your spouse because, you know, you want to say I love you. Maybe they're in another room. I'm not really sure. But I find that really interesting that you would be in the same house and you would be texting somebody in the same house with you. What's that all about, you guys? Call in and let me know. You can dial in at 929-477-1876. Press 1 to comment or ask your question. Again, that's 929-477-1876. Press 1 to comment or ask your question. You can also dial in if you want to post your comment or question in my chat room on blogtalkradio.com/personalityspeaking. That's, again, blogtalkradio.com/personalities. So let's talk about some other statistics that I find really interesting. 21% of cell phone owners or internet users are committed or in a committed relationship have felt closer to their spouse or partner because of exchanges they've had online or via text messages. Now, see, that's what I'm saying. I wonder if that's the reason why there's been such positive experiences. It's because people are sending love texts to each other. Love you, you know, sending sweet messages to one another. So maybe that's the reason why the positive comments are being made about social media. Again, I thought it was going to be something negative, so it's interesting that I'm finding out that the statistics don't support that. It's always important that you do research because you never know. You think one thing, and because it's your own experience, you think that's what everybody else thinks, and it's not necessarily the case. Okay, 9% have resolved an argument with their partner online or by text message. And that's, you know, if you are a person that has, I've heard people break up over, you know, during a text message, like they send a text message to say, you know, I don't think this relationship is going to work out. But I've never heard that people are resolving arguments via text message or, you know, online with their partner. And maybe, and it says because they were having difficulty resolving it in person. So that's interesting. So that's 9% of people who are saying that. So that's new to me, too. I am finding out, I'm telling you, this was some interesting research for me to discover some of the things that I'm hearing. It was just really interesting. So now, some people, now this is probably more of what I thought. Some people say technology is a source of tension. And I know it is for a lot of people. Now, I have a message that Tia says texting over the phone is cowardly to me. She said, at least for her. And I think that some people have a difficult time communicating. So, Tia, that's interesting that you mentioned that. I think some people have a difficulty communicating with one another face-to-face, especially if it is going to be something that is difficult to deal with. So, and if they feel like they're not going to be heard. So sometimes they feel like if they put it in writing, they get a chance to get everything they feel and think out without being interrupted. And they can really clearly communicate what they're thinking. So I wonder if that's one of the reasons why some people do that. Now, breaking up, that's kind of cowardly to me too, Tia, if that's what people are doing. But if you're texting to resolve an issue because you tried it in person, that may not be such a bad idea. Now, let's talk about how technology is a source of tension with some couples. 25% of cell phone owners in a marriage or partnership have felt their spouse or partner was distracted by their cell phone when they were together. Now, see, that's what my husband thinks, that when I'm on the phone, I'm not all there, and I'm not paying attention to him and spending the time with him. And we don't get a lot of time together, so I really get that. So when we are together, he is not, you know, happy with me being on his cell phone communicating. He prefers for me to have my phone off. So when we spend our time together, we are fully together. We're always spending that time, you know, and not sharing our time with other people. So that makes sense to me. Now, this is what I would have thought would be true. Actually, I thought that percentage might even be a bit higher. Now, 8% of internet users in a committed relationship have had an argument with their spouse or partner about the amount of time one of them was spending online. I know somebody has something to say about that. 8% of Internet users, and I think that number is higher, too. That's probably 8% of Internet users who took this poll, say that they have had an argument with their spouse or partner about the amount of time one of them was spending online. I've seen this in many of the relationships that I've been around, where somebody has said, you know, do you always have to be on your phone? Somebody, you know, they're in, whether it's the male in the relationship or the female in the relationship, you know, you're always on your computer, you're always on social media, you're always working, you're always, you know, doing something. I've seen that in a number of the couples in my circle. So I know this is something that other people have experienced. I know it is. So I find that interesting. All right, let's see what else. 4% of Internet users in a committed relationship have gotten upset at something that they found out their spouse or partner was doing online. How about that? 4% of Internet users in a committed relationship have gotten upset at something that they found out their spouse or partner was doing online. Recently saw this new show on television, and it's called Player Gets Played. If anybody's seen this, comment on my Facebook page at facebook.com/personalityspeaking. I'm really interested in knowing if you have seen this particular show and what you think about it. But what one of the things is they found out is that people started finding out that their significant other, who they thought they were in a committed relationship was in, they thought that they were in this committed relationship with this individual. It was a monogamous relationship. And this show exposes the fact that these guys who, you know, and so far it's only been guys. I'm sure there's plenty of women that have done this same thing, but these guys are in a relationship with more than one person. And some of these guys are in relationships with these women for long periods of time, like a year, you know, or somebody's in on and off on the relationship for 8 years. And so I find that interesting that, you know, these people found out about the other people on social media by, you know, somebody posting a comment about, you know, a picture of them and their significant other, and somebody else happened to see it, or they tagged the significant other in the post, or they said, I'm in a relationship with, and that kind of thing. So that was really interesting to me. So this is a kind of statistics that I am well aware of. It's the positive stuff that I really was surprised at. I really kind of thought that those numbers would be really low and that there would be more negative things said than positive things. Young adults are more likely to report that technology has an impact, good and bad. So young adults are more likely to report feeling closer to their spouse or partner thanks to technology. Wow. So that's you young folks. 41% of 18 to 29-year-olds in a serious relationship has felt closer to their partner because of online or text message conversations. Wow. That's interesting to me. See, that shows you the shift in the world. At one time, it was more important to have face-to-face conversations with people. You actually could really misunderstand people when you are, you know, writing a message to somebody. You know, you don't really understand the tone of the message. You're not really sure that whatever the person is saying to you is what they truly meant to say. So a lot of times you would really misunderstand it and really get in arguments based on the fact that, you know, you thought the person meant one thing and they meant something very different. So it's surprising to me that there's a whole paradigm shift. There's a whole shift in how people view things that 41, I guess because this is a technology society, and especially with the youth, they spend most of their time on cell phones. They spend most of their time texting and chatting and things of that nature. So I guess, with that said, 18 to 29-year-olds feel closer in their relationships. They feel like they're spending more time talking in their relationships than some of us older people. 23% of 18 to 29-year-olds in a serious relationship report resolving an argument using digital tools that they were having trouble resolving in person. 23%, 41% is high, but 23% is a high percentage of people who are actually resolving some of their issues on social media. I'm telling you, these statistics are really kind of blowing my mind. I want to hear what you have to say. Call and talk to me. Tell me what you have to say about this topic, because I think it's really interesting, some of the things that I'm finding out, and I want to know your experiences. What have you experienced in terms of your social media, in terms of your relationship? I know social media is important. Today I spoke at Wilson High School. They have a summer program. It's a program for young people who, it's a summer job program, but they had to take some courses, and somebody, the instructor of their business music program, invited me to Sir Denzel Bussey. And I went out to speak to them today, and I was watching them socializing. And it's so interesting to see that they're more comfortable socializing using technology than they were to you know, walk up to each other and just strike up a conversation. And he had to actually invite them to step, you know, like had groups, one group on the left and one group on the right. And he said, okay, the group on the right, take three steps towards the group on the left. Now, group on the left, take three steps towards the group, until he had them mingling with one another. They just wouldn't just get up and, you know, mingle with one another. It was that music business group and their social media group. And so they had a mixer today where they had to actually talk to one another and kind of network with one another. And it seemed to be more complicated and difficult for them to do that and easier for them to be on their phone. So this kind of supports that. Okay, at the same time, young adults are more likely to report tension in relationships over technology use. Yes, now I've seen a lot of this. 42% of cell-owning 18 to 29-year-olds in serious relationships say their partner has been distracted by their mobile phone while they're together. Also, 25% of all couples say this, okay? 18% of online 18 to 29-year-olds have argued with a partner about the amount of time one of them spent online compared to 8% of online couples. So that's a larger percentage. Percent say that they have been upset by something their partner was doing online compared to 4% of online couples. Overall, young adults are more likely to report that the internet has had an impact on their relationship. 45% of internet users, 18 to 29, in serious relationships say the internet has had an impact on their relationship, while just 1 in 10 online adults, 65 or older, has say the same thing. Well, because, you know, there's not a lot of people 65 and older, you know, in comparison to the young people on the internet. Some people don't even have internet accounts that are 65 and older. And some who have them are not on them like the young people are. So that makes sense. Let's talk about shared passwords. 67% of internet users in marriage or committed relationships have shared the password with one or more of their online accounts with their spouse or partner. I can believe that. Like I said before, I leave mine open all the time so that people can ask me questions or comment. I do that all the time. I mean, it's so that my spouse can, you know, if he wanted to pick up the laptop, my social media is always up on my laptop. It's on my tablet. It's on my phone. He has all my passcodes that he can listen in anytime he wants to. So I have a comment from Caleb in D.C., and I'm going to turn your mic on, Caleb. Caleb, welcome to Personality Speaking. You have a comment for us tonight. Hello, Caleb?
Yes.
Hi, welcome to Personality Speaking.
Thank you. I'm sorry. I just had a comment about the topic that it really does affect relationships, because it makes everything a lot more intimate. Like, you know, a relationship without it would usually be like, I feel like it adds a whole nother dimension and perspective to you know, pretty much everything, you know, because it's like there's a lot more that can happen. You know, it's just so many more things can go wrong with social media.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've learned, I guess, you know, people a couple, like, you know, if they have, like, trust issues or something like that, you know, they would check social media for, like, snooping and that type of thing. And I guess snooping is never really a good thing, because you're looking for something that you don't like.
Yeah.
So, like, you're pretty much asking to find something that you're not going to like, and it's going to end up messing everything up in the long run, I believe.
Now, so have you had that experience at all?
I have. It's definitely kind of nerve-wracking just wondering what you're going to find and if you're even going to find anything in the first place.
Had that experience, did you have someone looking at your social media, or were you looking at someone else's?
I was looking at someone else's. I feel like intimate is a really good word, because you get to see, you know, pretty much everything that they, you know, everything that everybody sees, everything everybody says to them on their, on their site and everything.
And it can be misunderstood. I mean, sometimes people say things, right, on your social media, on a person's social media, and you don't know that person, so you don't really know where they're coming from, and you can really misunderstand. It really can breed misunderstanding. And so that's why I found it interesting that so many people, especially young people, felt as though the social media was positive and not negative. I would have thought it would have been, you know, more negative than positive. For some of the reasons
stated. Yeah, by the time you're snooping, like, I guess, you know, by the time you're looking through things, you're thinking of everything in the worst possible way, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. Well, and you know what? My mother always says, if you look for something, you just might find it.
Yeah, that's how it works.
Well, thank you, Caleb, for commenting tonight on Personality Speaking. I'm going to put your phone back on mic, and I really appreciate your comments.
All right, thank you. No problem.
Thank you. Yeah, so it's interesting. You know, that's one of the things that you have to be concerned with. If you have social media accounts, what are you putting out there, you know, that people might misunderstand? What is on your social media account, I mean, on your social media, Facebook page, Instagram, Snapchat, that you might not want people to know? What, you know, so think about that. That's important when you are on this kind of platform, that you're putting out the right thing, that people aren't misunderstanding you, that people, you know, especially if you're in a serious, committed relationship, you know, sometimes people comment on your page and it's inappropriate. And so how do you address that? How do you deal with that? You know, you have to really start to think about those things as well. I really appreciate Caleb's comments. Okay, so let's talk about this. Shared accounts. 27% of internet users in a marriage are in a committed relationship have an email account that they share with their partner. Older adults and those who have been in their relationships for longer than 10 years are especially likely to share an email account. 11% of these couples have an online calendar that they share. Well, that makes sense to me, especially if you have children, that you would share an online calendar, because if you have to pick the kids up and you have to go to, you know, they have activities, you know, dance class or taekwondo or whatever, and they have busy schedules and you have busy schedules and you want to make sure everybody gets where they need to go, that makes sense that you would share calendars. Also, if you are business owners or you're, you know, in business and you have things that you need to make sure happens, I can see couples sharing their calendars. That makes sense to me. Sharing of online calendars tend to be the most prevalent among couples in their logistic intensive middle age period. What? So that's between mid-20s to mid-40s. So just like I said, couples who are trying to figure out how to navigate their relationships and making sure that they get to spend time together, and if they have children, get their children to and from the places they need to get their children to and from. 11% of partner and married adults who use social networking sites share a social media profile. And I said that before. I had, you know, some couples I know that share social media profile. And I want some couples to comment about that, even if you just comment on my Facebook page about why you share a social media page with your significant other, whether that's your spouse or your, you know, your girlfriend or boyfriend or whatever. Why would you do that? I find that interesting because I think I'm going to share a page with my husband, primarily because we're going to be doing a singles conference in September, and then we're going to be doing a marriage conference in October of this year. And so I'd like people to be able to ask us questions and us to be able to comment. But I'd like to know why you might be sharing a page if you do that already. Comments by dialing in 929-477-1876. Press 1 to comment or ask your question. Again, that's 929-477-1876 to comment or, and press 1 to comment or ask your question. You can also type in your question or comment in my chat room on blogtalkradio.com/personalityspeaking, and we will take those comments as well. And you can also go on facebook.com/personalityspeaking to comment or ask your question. All right, now, as a broad pattern, those who have been married or partnered 10 years or less have digital communication and sharing habits that differ substantially from those who have been partnered longer. Some of this is about timing. Technology a decade ago was squarely in the pre-Facebook, pre-smartphone era, which is true. And just 10 years ago, into the development of the commercially popular web. Those who were already together as a couple at the advent of this new platform or technology were a bit more likely to jump on together as a unit, while those who begin relationships with their own existing accounts and profiles tend to continue to use them separately from separately as individuals. Long-term couples tend to view and utilize technology quite differently compared with those who've been together for a shorter period of time. Couples who have been together for 10 years or less show different patterns of technology usage in the context of their relationships compared to those who've been together for a longer period of time. Couples who have been together for a decade or less are typically younger than those who have been together for longer. So let me just say this. Couples who have been together for a long time, like my husband and I have been together, it'll be 22 years, but we've been married 21 years, actually almost 23 years, but we've been married 21 years. We share things, but he's not really into social media. It's not his thing. He has an account. If you go on his account and check it today, I think the last time he probably checked it was his birthday, and maybe he didn't even do it then. But young people tend to be on social media a lot. It's so funny, my daughter and her boyfriend, he was in town for her birthday recently, and they were both on their phones, and they were both texting back and forth, not to each other, but to other people, checking their Snapchat accounts and their Instagram accounts. And I found that interesting. You know, they spent a lot of time doing that, but they were sitting in the car together as if, you know, it was the way you're supposed to do things. Instead of, you know, chatting and talking with each other, they're chatting and talking on Facebook and Instagram and those things. Now, when I was doing some of this research, it was just shocking and surprising to me how many people are on the different types of media. There's nearly 1.4 billion Facebook users. And, you know, people, it's so funny because young people, when they find out that their parents are on Facebook and their parents are on Twitter, they find another social media to jump to. There's like, nobody wants to be on there if you're on there. Twitter. Twitter was what they consider an accidental social network. They didn't even mean that to really be social network, but it turned out to be that. And they have 284 million active users. And that was at the last count. Google Plus. I didn't even realize a lot of people were on Google Plus. I know I'm on it, but I was surprised that that Google Plus, they say, saw the writing on the wall, but they kind of turned up to the party too late. But it cost them $500 million to design and develop their Google Plus. But they have 363 million users. Instagram, which is a network owned by Facebook, and I didn't know that. I don't know if any of you guys knew that. But it's owned by Facebook, and they have 300 million users. I'm saying all this to say that we are spending a lot of time on social media. Social media has to have an impact, positive and negative, on our relationships. There are other social media sites like Pinterest. Pinterest is 80% a female site, and they have 70 million users on Pinterest. They have LinkedIn. LinkedIn is one of the oldest of the social media networks. They have 347 million registered members. But this is really, you know, LinkedIn is about business. And so anyway, I wanted to say to you that social media is one of the things that you need to know could really impact your relationship in a very positive way, but they can also hurt your relationship. If you are a sanguine personality and a choleric personality, which are your outgoing personality styles, you tend to take full advantage of social media for different reasons. The sanguine does not want to miss anything, and the choleric is on the social media to further their whatever they're trying to get accomplished. You have to know that social media can hurt or harm you. It's up to you how you decide to use it. I decide to use social media because I love connecting with my friends. I love knowing that my friends, what they're up to and what they're doing. But I also do it for business. But I also know that spending a lot of time on social media can impact my relationship with my husband. It could impact my relationship with my family members. You have to be able to balance that. A choleric is on there to further their business agenda or to be networking. They don't waste a lot of time. They make their points clear, but they're also out there, they will be out there to put out some provocative videos or news clippings that evoke discussion and have people spring into action to make things happen. I have a brother who's always posting videos, and he's posting videos on things like brutality, police brutality, or he's posting videos about things that really should make you think and really act on the things that impact the community. Melancholies tend to shy away from social media because they don't trust what people are going to do with the information. I have several melancholy friends who don't even have social media accounts because they don't trust what's going to happen with the data. There are melancholies that are on here, and they're usually on here because, they, like I said, they're going to promote their books or their music or something like that, and that's why they're on social media. Phlegmatics will usually repost things. They're not, you know, they're not going to spend a lot of time posting stuff, but they'll repost things, and they may comment on the things that are very interesting, but they usually don't comment on things, on provocative posts or things that that may seem offensive to people. They don't really want to get caught up in any kind of controversy. As I said before, social media is good for many reasons. When you use it responsibly, it can impede your ability to have a healthy relationship. I'm sorry, if you don't use it responsibly, it can impede your ability to have a healthy relationship. If you are using it irresponsibly, you must revisit why you are participating in this type of form. Everybody has a social responsibility to do the right thing with your social media account, especially as it pertains to your relationships. What's most important is what works for each of you. If social media is making your relationship stronger, then stay on social media. If it is hurting your relationships, revisit why you're actually doing social media, why you're involving yourself in social media. If you want to learn more, I have a question before I end the show. I have a question from Leanna, and I'm going to open your mic. Leanna, welcome to Personality Speaking. What's your question or comment?
I really agree with what you said about social media and how they affect your personal relationships. And I just, it was pretty much a comment and a question about how social media, like, it covers for everyone's, like, lack of originality and reposting and all of that. So I had this friend that they lost their job because of them posting something inappropriate. And out of the many times that I told them, like, oh, you can't really, like, say, like, provocative things like that, it's like they still don't get it. But it's not just them. I think it's just the way that they were brought up. And a lot of other people do that, too.
So I think that's, I'm glad you brought that up, because social media, as I said, can hurt or hinder relationships. But also, this is something I told my daughter, remember when she first went off to college, she's graduating this year, and she first went off to college, I said, you need to be really careful what you put on your Facebook page, because colleges and human resource departments are looking at social media accounts because they're trying to determine your judgment. They're trying to determine what you stand for. And if they want you on their campus or they want you in their corporations and businesses. And are you a part of, were you on the, at the Wilson High School today?
Yes.
Okay, great. I'm glad I asked that question, because it is so critical for, especially if you're in the music business or you are in the social media group, you need to understand the impact of how social media can impact your career and your future. And so seeing a friend of yours lose their job over posting inappropriate communication tells you right then and there that it is serious business about what you post on your social media. People think it's mine. I should be able to do what I want to do. I should be able to say what I want to say. And nobody should have anything to say about my social media. What you put out in the world on any kind of technology stays out there. And so your views can change from your age now, whatever age you are now, until 10 years from now. What you think today, you probably will not think and even agree with 10 years from now. So the person, even when they posted what they posted, was probably trying to be provocative and post whatever they thought, you know, sounded really cool for the moment. And then, you know, after he lost his job, said, oh, my God, I wish I'd never done that. So, I mean, but thank you for posting. I mean, what kind of personality style do you think this person has? Is this person outgoing or this person really quiet and introverted?
They're outgoing. Yeah.
That makes sense because especially if they're a choleric personality, they probably really don't care what anybody thinks about what they're posting until it impacts them. But
right,
thank you, Leanna.
You.
Thank you for commenting. I'm going to put you back on mute, okay?
Okay, thanks.
Thanks. So I'm just really excited about this topic. I think this topic was a good topic because social media is something that we all participate in one way or another. Some people do it for work-related reasons. Some people do it for personal reasons. But we all have a social responsibility to do the right thing on social media. So I was glad that Leanna brought that topic up because we do have a social responsibility. You just should not be posting any reckless thing on social media and expecting there's not going to be any fallout. Even if you don't lose your job or you don't, you're not banned from going to the college of your choice, it still can impact another individual. So be careful the things that you put out on social media. Now, if you want to learn more about your personality style or you want to purchase a personality assessment, you can log on to my website at www.beyond2llc.com. With your purchase comes a 15-minute consultation to go over your results. You can also purchase more time if you want to spend more time talking about your results or about any issues that you have with your personality or any personality-related issues. To get up-to-date information, you can follow me on my website at www.blogtalkradio.com/personality-speaking, and you will get that updated information each week and get reminders of the show. You can also follow me on facebook.com/personality-speaking. Personality Speaking airs every Thursday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Our next show is next week, next Thursday, with Carolyn Tatum, who will be speaking on the topic, Marrying Your Personality. Even if you are single, this is a good topic for you because she's going to talk about what you need to prepare yourself for marriage, prepare your personality for marriage. I'm going to help her with that part of the topic. But if you are married, she's going to talk about how you can stay married. So I love the opportunity to speak to Carolyn next week. Remember, Personality Speaking is designed to help you reconcile your relationships one personality at a time. Thank you. Good night and God bless.